Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Em, and today I'm chatting with Julia Kendrick.
I feel for any kind of female entrepreneurs or people that are thinking about making a big move that are listening to this, it's really important to say, like, it sounds great when somebody plays it back, but usually it doesn't feel like that in the moment. And nobody has it all figured out at the start for sure. And I think that's, you know, it's always a journey.
Julia is an award-winning communications expert with over 18 years experience, author, speaker, and trainer who specializes in the cosmetic surgery, aesthetic medicine, and high-end beauty and wellness sectors. She's also the founder of Kendrick PR in London and a mom of two. I found this episode just so motivating, so empowering in terms of female entrepreneurship and moms trying to do the juggle. She's also educating us on medical and skin aesthetics and also sharing some of her own personal experiences. With it. We're talking about the power of networking, leaning on other women in our circles, and how to best market ourselves in 2022. I hope you guys love this episode as much as I do. So here it is. Julia, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to talk to you today.
I'm so excited to have you on. I feel like it's been a long time coming. I feel like the stars aligned and I'm thrilled to have you on. So we're going to dive right into things. But I guess first and foremost, can you give our audience just a little background on like who you are, what you're all about?
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, my name is Julia Kendrick. I'm an award-winning communications expert and PR agency founder, and I specialize in quite a niche area, which is sort of cosmetic surgery, medical aesthetics, and high-end skincare and wellness. So yeah, that's me. I'm also a mum of two and just trying to do the juggle.
Trying to do the juggle, and the juggle is mad. How old are your kids now?
Oh, they are going to be 8 and 5 now. And I can't believe I'm saying that because I just feel like no time has gone by. But
absolutely.
It's been amazing.
I get it. My son is turning 2 next month, this month, March. What?
Oh, how lovely.
Yeah, exactly. As you said, it goes by so quickly. But yeah, you're doing the juggle. You're doing all the things. So on this podcast, I love to talk about our guests' big moves. So the career transitions, the moving cities, those big transitions in life that really shape our journeys and our stories. I know you've done so many of them, especially when it comes to your career. So I'd love to touch on your career transition from your corporate job to freelance consulting, and then also from freelance consulting to launching Kendrick, your own PR agency that has done so well in London. What was that time period sort of like for you? Can you give us the breakdown?
Yeah, I mean, it was very crazy, I have to say. So leaving my corporate job was something that I'd never planned on doing. I was very, very happy. I was working at an incredible company at the forefront of their field. It was Allergan, who are the global leaders in medical aesthetics. So they manufacture Botox, which I'm sure everybody's heard of, and fillers as well as breast implants. So absolutely loved my job. And I had been out on maternity leave. And while I was gone, the company underwent some major changes. They were taken over. There was huge changes in the business. And when it came to going back, I kind of had this choice to make of, you know, do I stick with what I know and what I love doing? Or, you know, do I take the plunge and try something different that I feel would, you know, meet my needs as a working mum, not wanting to give up on a career that I'd spent years building, but, you know, also feeling like, well, I waited 5 years to have my baby and I don't necessarily want to just kind of jump straight back into an environment where it's going to be really full on. But it was more my own kind of desire to find a different way of doing things and explore something new. So I made the decision to go freelance at that point. But it was an unexpected decision. It was kind of a bit sort of turn at the moment. And I just did not expect to make that move. I'd never gone freelance before. To be honest with you, I was absolutely terrified. But I kind of thought, well, you know, PR, particularly comms, is there are quite a lot of freelancers in our industry. I'd known quite a lot of them myself. And I thought, gosh, you know, well, if they can do it, I can do it, I'm sure. And, you know, very much kind of building on the relationships that I had built in my previous job. and trying to sort of work out a solution and find a way forward that would work for me in my new life now, was kind of what was behind all of that. And literally, it was like Harry Potter. I was working by myself in a little cupboard under my stairs. Like, my mum would take the baby and I would be there like trying to do stuff. So it was really scary. But yeah, there were lots of things that I'm looking forward to talking on today's show about kind of the things that helped me, the network that I built, and the incredible people that have helped my success along the years, and that I want to repay that and pay that forward for other entrepreneurs, especially female founders, because I think nobody quite understands the juggle like female founders and female entrepreneurs. So yes, so that was the jump from corporate to freelance, and then freelance to agency again was something that wasn't necessarily planned, but an opportunity presented itself to solve a problem that I was seeing again and again in my consultancy work, which was I could get things so far and then I would have to hand over to another business to take it the full measure. And that was the difference between launching a brand or launching a new treatment into the aesthetic world and getting it in all the clinics and getting doctors to know about it and all the rest of it. But there comes a push-pull. You've got to get the consumers excited about it. You've got to drive the people into the clinics to get the treatment. And that was the area that was something I couldn't fulfill personally within my consultancy. And I had a network of incredible, trusted partners and suppliers. But there was that sort of feeling like, I could be doing more. I could have this kind of really all under one roof approach for myself. But it's that chicken and egg. I can't have the team without the clients, but I can't get the clients without the team. And I felt stuck. And as it happened, a trusted friend of mine who ran her own PR agency specializing in the consumer side of our business said to me one day that she was thinking of selling to focus more of her time on her husband's business. And did I want to buy her out, basically, and take on that structure, that agency that she had built, and combine it to make something new. And again, it was this like eureka moment. I had this lunch with her and I came home and I couldn't sleep. My brain was just absolutely on fire with all of the kind of possibilities. And then there was like a, oh, holy crap, like, what am I doing? Yeah. But I've kind of felt, I really feel like you have to do one thing a year that scares the absolute bejesus out of you. And that was my thing for that year. I thought, I'm going to do it. You know, let's go. Let's see if what I can do. And I went for it. So that was the beginning of Kendrick PR as an agency. So yeah, there were some very big milestones.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much to break down there. And thank you too for sharing like what was going on mentally was like super, super exciting. Like I can relate to that feeling of like, you're trying to go to sleep, but you're so excited and passionate about the ideas that you have in your head. Right. But then you're also like, oh shit, what did I just do? Like, so, you know, there's two sides of the coin. It sounds like you kind of went through it all the while juggling family life, kids, and all of the things. So,
yeah. One of the things I think is really important, and that, you know, I loved listening to some of the other people that you've interviewed on this podcast, you know, sometimes from the outside in, when somebody kind of breaks it back down to you and says it like that, you're like, yeah, that does sound amazing. That sounds really cool when you say it like that. But when you're going through it, you are just, you know, you don't know what the next step is. You're plagued with uncertainty and doubt about yourself and your capabilities and whether it will work and whether everything's going to align in the way you need. And it, you know, it is, I feel for any kind of female entrepreneurs or people that are thinking about making a big move that are listening to this, it's really important to say, like, it sounds great when somebody plays it back, but usually it doesn't feel like that in the moment. And nobody has it all figured out at the start for sure. And I think that's, you know, it's always a journey, and it's always scary in most cases, I think. So, yeah.
Absolutely. It's always a long road. I completely get that. I guess if you had like one top tip of advice for someone leaving a corporate job to doing something more entrepreneurial, like what you've done with Kendrick, what would that be? Is there like something that comes to mind for you?
I think if it's more of a planned move, you know, when you're able to really think about it and make an exit strategy from your corporate life to doing something new, I would definitely tap up your friends, your network. You know, you might feel, well, you know, I don't necessarily know somebody that's wanting to do what I do, but I guarantee you, you put the word out to your friends and somebody will have a connection that you can talk to. And I think I really believe that particularly my experience has always been that female business owners and female founders have always been willing to give me their time to talk me through their experience, give me their advice, help me maybe see some of the things I'm not seeing. When there's no direct benefit to them, it's just a case of leveraging that network. It's that sense of, well, you know, I can have an initial conversation with somebody one day and a year and a half down the line, they'll say, do you know what? I just have put somebody in touch with you that I think would be really great as a client. You never know how those moments are going to come back in a positive way. But I would say nobody goes into it with that mindset. But I would definitely tap up your network to chat to as many people as you can to get advice, tips, insights, and any kind of sort of reassurance. Because I think most of the time, if you're able to make a plan about it, then you've obviously kind of thought things through in a very sort of strategic way. Whereas if you're flying by the seat of your pants like I was, it's more just you need somebody to hold your hand and tell you it's going to be okay. So both of those options are really great.
Absolutely. No, it's such a great tangible tip. And I couldn't agree more with that. It's like tap into your network, utilize the people around you, and you never know, right? You never know what could come back to you later. So
absolutely. Yeah.
So Julia, you kind of set the stage for us, sort of how Kendrick came to be, sort of work, Harry Potter vibes, the cupboard under your stairs, which I love. Flash forward to now, Kendrick is an award-winning PR agency in London, many of which your clients I've gotten to know through the years. And I've been so lucky to work with. It's been amazing working with your team. I'd love to talk about, like, what do you think has really attributed to your agency's success specifically sort of through the years?
That's a really great question. I mean, number one thing that I definitely want to acknowledge is that the agency's success is because of my team. So, you know, I have the privilege of working with some absolutely incredible women who have brought their years of experience and their contacts and their creativity every single day. And, you know, I learn from them every single day. I absolutely adore it. But number one is the team, because without them, there isn't a business. You know, there's load. I mean, I've done the solo gig. I know how much I can achieve by myself. But, you know, with them behind me, they are what's really taken things to the next level to help us achieve that success, to bring in those amazing clients, you know. So I feel like I might be the bus driver, but, you know, they are the ones that really kind of make the journey amazing. And so very much that's one of the major players in the success of the business. But obviously, secondly, one of the things that's worked very well for us is, as I said at the start, this is a little bit of a niche area, which is crazy because it is so busy and competitive and creative. And, it, you know, the medical aesthetics industry itself is absolutely booming, and it continues to do so. There's been a few dips over the years, but generally I don't see it going anywhere but up. So the opportunity that we have to work with incredible clients, the highest quality, most exciting innovators in the space is right there. And you need a bit of a blend of science and beauty. And that's very much kind of my personal passion. I came from a scientific degree. I started working in pharmaceutical PR. So that ability to understand sort of high science concepts, you know, things like prescription medicines, lots of people don't realize that medical aesthetics is this really wacky blend of prescription medicines that you can't promote, like Botox, for example, except everybody knows it. You know, you've got medical devices, which are things like dermal fillers. And then you've got kind of cosmeceuticals and cosmeceutical grade skincare, and you've got lasers, and you've got, you know, all these incredible treatments. So for me, having kind of come from that science background and being able to understand where some of these more technical brands are coming from, the regulations that we have to adhere to communicate about them ethically and accurately, but still in a creative and educational and engaging manner. That is a difficult skill. And there's only really a few agencies and a few people in the industry that I know of that can really tread that balance between the science and the sort of more beauty wellness elements. So that has enabled us to sort of carve this niche. And over the years, the people that we've worked with, the incredible relationships that we have built up with some of the country's, you know, top doctors, the real leading experts in this space, that has allowed us to kind of grow and cement our reputation in this field. But I would definitely say that that power of recommendation, so many of our clients have come through recommendations. It's been referrals, not necessarily cold pitching or someone stumbling upon us on the internet and thinking, oh, actually, that's what I need. It's a lot more, it's all but down to those relationships again, actually. So yeah.
Speaking of aesthetics, there is a very exciting live event coming up in London called Beauty Uncovered Live. This is the first ever show where you can discover all the latest in beauty and aesthetic products and treatments. Perfect for anyone, whether you're a beauty beginner or aesthetics veteran wanting to find out a little more. Hosted by beauty journalist Nadine Baggett, there will be top medical experts, real patients, and leading brands taking part, covering everything from skin, full face rejuvenation and lips, to body contouring, hair restoration, and menopause through a series of talks, live demos, free treatments, and loads of freebies and samples. This is a beauty day out not to be missed. And yours truly is going to be there. It's taking place on May 7th and 8th at the Business Design Center in Islington. And I am giving away 2 VIP tickets. Entering is super easy. Just watch out for our latest IG posts when this episode goes out, or share this episode on your stories and tag at the Big Move Podcast and at Beauty Uncovered UK. You can also check out beautyuncovered.com for more info on the event. I'd love to talk aesthetics with you, as this is obviously such a hot topic for women, especially. Yeah. Why is there still so much stigma around this topic and sort of judgment? I guess, would you say that it more so comes around like skin aesthetics when we're talking about, you know, injectables and facelifts and that kind of thing? Or like, what is your sort of like take on that?
Oh my God. I mean, I could talk about this all day, honestly. It's a really great question, and it's a really complicated topic. And I think, you know, I tend to be quite on the back foot about it sometimes if I go to a party or things like that, and people say, oh, what do you do? And you say, and they instantly come at you with the questions. There's such a thirst for knowledge and for information out there, for sure. And yeah. I think, you know, certainly over the last sort of 5 to 10 years, there has been a wellspring of good quality, credible information sources. The media, the journalists are so much more swatted up and educated about the industry as a whole. But your average woman still feels like, well, I could read online about it, but I don't know where to go. And I still feel it's a real big step, I think, for a woman to take that move from, okay, I can go in for a facial, I can go into a sort of a lovely skin clinic for a facial, but going into an aesthetic clinic for a treatment or a procedure, it feels like a big step still. And I think from the conversations I've had personally and from what I see going on in the press, people get really caught up in this whole, you shouldn't want to change. You know, the first thing sometimes a woman might find if she says to her friends, well, I'm thinking of getting a little something done. And then usually the first response is, oh, but you're beautiful, you don't need anything. And there's that urge to obviously, you know, tell your friend that they're beautiful and that they don't need this. And while that comes from a good place and it comes from a positive place, it actually sometimes compounds the issue, because then that person thinks, well, you know, I don't feel like that. This really bothers me. And then they can't really have a sort of open conversation about what they feel and what they need. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, the joy of what I do is trying to make sure that the information and the options are out there for people to find, to have that confidence in choosing quality treatments, quality practitioners, having a good experience rather than, you know, with this area. The reason it's so fun to work in from a PR perspective is that the media never get tired of it. There's always something new, and that's there's so always, true. You know, there's they do love the drama of it. You know, they love the yeah. huge positives. You know, look at these amazing transformations. You know, like the Judy Murray piece. You know, that got so much coverage last year. You know, doesn't she look amazing? Lovely. But they also love the flip side. They're like, oh, look at this awful, you know, injectables gone wrong, you know, pillow face, all the rest of it. So sure. I think there is still that, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear and a lot of misunderstanding that it's like anything, fake nails, fake tan, fake hair. If it's done badly and cheaply and with a not very good person, you can see it straight away. You can spot it. But if it's done well, you shouldn't be able to really notice it. It shouldn't be about transformational change. It should be about, you know, those small differences that make the person feel better. So, yeah,
absolutely. And so how can we as women be as informed as possible? Obviously, there's so much out there on Google. It's not as simple and straightforward. Like, is it word of mouth going off a really strong recommendation from a friend, or like, do you have any recommendations there?
Yeah. I mean, basically, if I may share something from my own experience. So after the birth of my second child, I was really, really unhappy with my body, with my breasts in particular. And it bothered me for years, like breastfeeding had ruined me basically. And, I thought about it every day for years, and I thought, right, I'm not going to do anything until after baby number two. There's no point. But even somebody like me who has worked in the industry, I know the professional registers of surgeons that you can check. You can go onto the professional society bodies to make sure that, you know, you've got all of these accredited, proper contacts that you can check out. But you feel yourself just going through a Google mine. And even though I had worked in the industry, I had worked on the breast portfolio in my corporate job, I knew some of the top names, but there's a big difference between knowing a name and doing a bit of Googling to actually stepping foot in somewhere and putting your life in someone's hands. You're going under a general anesthetic, you know. Yeah. And I actually was talking about it with Olivia Falcon, who was at that time working at Tatler on the cosmetic surgery guide front. And she gave me a personal recommendation. She said, this guy is incredible. He doesn't have a big media profile. He's kind of under the radar. So I went through, you know, three or four different consultation appointments with some of the names I knew that I had researched, but also a trusted friend's recommendation who I then checked out as well. So even somebody like me who could probably go, well, I know some of the top names and I could, you know, just go with that. When it comes down to your body and your choices and a big decision to undergo a procedure like that, you know, that blend of proper accredited information, but also a trusted friend's recommendation makes a world of difference. And actually the one I ended up going with was the chap that she had recommended, just because I got, you know, just in the consultation on paper, all of these guys were equally qualified, were wonderful, wonderful surgeons. But there was something in that consultation with the last chap that I was like, you're the guy for me. And it worked out brilliantly. So, yeah, I think there are wonderful information sources out there. There are brilliant people like Alice Hart Davis who do a lot of, you know, tweakment information about, you know, good places to go, accredited practitioners, reputable clinics. It's all out there. But at the end of the day, also the thing that tends to win out is a friend's recommendation. So I think the more that we can talk about it and feel okay about talking about it, the more it's going to help people as well.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you. That's so helpful too, to just hear like a real life example from an expert like yourself, because it's like, it really outlines like the challenges that come along with it. It's not straightforward. So thank you for sharing that. I guess when it comes to skin aesthetics, are there any treatments or anything that you personally love or that you would maybe recommend to an audience?
Yeah, this is kind of confession time because I thought, oh my goodness, if I start listing out everything I've ever had.
but no pressure to do that.
No, it's totally cool because the thing is I'm very upfront about what I've had. And I think, you know, I've had mixed reactions, people saying, oh, but you're so young, you don't need to do these things. And
sure,
I have come at it from a different place because my there was no stigma whatsoever for me when I started trying anti-wrinkle injections and dermal fillers. I was in my late 20s, but it was because it was part of my job. It was things that I was very, very knowledgeable about. I knew all the science. I knew all the data and the safety behind these products. I also was privileged enough to be working already with the top experts in the country. So for me, the step was really, really non-existent. And I really enjoyed trying some of those kind of treatments. And I still have some of those treatments every now and then. But I think as I've got into my sort of late 30s and definitely post kids, like my skin and my face have changed in ways I didn't expect. So I've been, again, privileged through my work to be connected with some of the most amazing experts. So I've finally seen a proper dermatologist to get to the bottom of what I have now discovered. I've got mild rosacea, which has worsened due to hormonal stuff with kids and things like that. So getting a proper diagnosis and knowing kind of, okay, this is actually something I need to be mindful of now and how to deal with that. And then some of the other treatments that I have tried through clients and also through my clinic practitioners' recommendations have been things like Potenza, which is a radio frequency microneedling, which helps to kickstart your skin's own collagen production, which obviously, as we all know, falls off a cliff pretty much as soon as you're out your 20s, your collagen goes. So it helps to kind of, it's not necessarily putting anything into the skin. It's actually just working on your own skin health. And I think that's a massive kind of shift that we're seeing. It's not necessarily about putting things in that shouldn't be there. Not that they should ever sort of phrase it like that, but it's more about optimizing your own skin health. So things like the radio frequency microneedling. I'm also doing a laser to help deal with some of like the broken veins. It's the BBL Moxie laser to, because I've had the rosacea now for so long that I've started getting those little broken veins in my cheeks and on my nose, which always bothered me, actually. I remember as a child, like in my teens, I had all these broken veins around my nose because I also got hay fever. And I would always be putting like tons of concealer around my nose and on the sort of tops of my cheeks. And you sort of, it just was like, oh, that's something that I need to do. It was kind of accepted. And then you're like, oh, actually, I could actually do something about that underlying cause. And so, yeah, those are the things that I've been doing recently. But yes, there's been a long list of other things that I've tried because I think it's brilliant. And I really research the treatments. I know the best people and I've had the privilege of working with some of these device manufacturers. So, you know, these lasers that can, you know, treat micropigmentation, you know, so precisely and so incredibly and absolutely transform someone's confidence. I just think it's absolutely brilliant. And I love working on those things.
Absolutely. And thanks for sharing the rosacea piece. I too suffer from a bit of mild rosacea and you're right, radio frequency and like LED light therapy and the laser, those are such great sort of tools to look into. So I'm right there with you. It's like you kind of just want to wake up feeling fresh, like you can run out the door. But as we get older, it's obviously not a reality. And so those have worked well for me too. So thanks for sharing.
Definitely. And I think as well, it's really important to sort of flag that after any kind of major life changes, it's your skin and your face and your body change in ways that you just can't predict. You know, I think certainly stress, the pandemic and everything, there's definitely been a trend. We've seen that with a lot of feedback from our practitioners that we work with. You know, people sort of almost accelerated aging due to stress and these circumstances that none of us could have predicted. But also, you know, I know for me personally, post-birth, I suddenly developed the most horrendous kind of eye bags and tear troughs, you know, just hollowing. I don't know why that was the only area on my body that I seemed to lose weight, but it was just this under area of my eye where, yes, of course I was sleep deprived anyway, but my God, you know, it was very obvious, but everything else was, oh my goodness. Yeah. So
sleep deprivation with an 8 and a 5-year-old, I imagine, is very real. See, I thought that it got easier, but actually I'm going into 2-year-old sleep regression. So you know, it ebbs and flows, doesn't it? I have a long way to go. But so any other, you're so on the pulse in the industry. Are there any other like favorite new beauty or wellness brands that you love or you want to share with the audience?
Oh my goodness. There's so many things that are coming out that are just so interesting. I think, there's definitely going to be a revolution, I think, in LED skin home care. I mean, you'll have obviously seen there's been a number of fantastic masks over the last few years that have come out, that, you know, report to have the LED, as you said, the healing benefits, not just for rosacea, but obviously you've got the blue light for acne. You know, there's also anti-inflammatory and other skin rejuvenation benefits. But there's going to be, I think, some changes where it's not just going to be focusing on the face and with these masks, but actually combining that with skincare patches or topical treatments, which can kind of amplify the effect of the LED. So I think those kind of things are kind of going to be coming through fairly soon and that are going to be very exciting. There's this kind of merging, I think, of clinic treatments and home care, which we're starting to see. So the LED is kind of one of the front runners with that, with people having LED masks or LED treatments from home that are obviously not as powerful as clinic ones, but mm-hmm. that can continue the benefits. And I think the industry is looking a lot more holistically now about how can you amplify the effects of treatments in clinic, how can you prolong the effects of clinic treatments as well with your home care. So I mean, obviously kind of great quality cosmeceutical skincare is number one. But I think things like the LED sector are going to get quite diversified and quite, there's so much innovation coming through from there as well.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. So switching gears a little bit, you are sort of one of our first ever PR gurus in the space to come on the podcast. So I'd love to pick your brain a little bit around how to best market ourselves in 2022. A lot has changed over the last couple of years, but I think regardless, it's something that we should all just be really on the pulse and on top of. So do you have any top tips in general? Like, is it still that really tight one pager resume? Are you a fan of LinkedIn? How are we using social media? I guess like, what are your sort of general tips?
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole kind of hour-long conversation there, I think, for sure. I think with any brand founders, entrepreneurs, people making moves on their own, you really have to think about your narrative and, you know, what is your story? Because you're the only one that can tell your story until you hire a PR company to tell it for you, you know. So many of us out there, you know, starting off just on our own or maybe with a partner, a business partner. So I think something that I say quite a lot to the clients I work with, at the end of the day, certainly in my industry, they're all playing with pretty much the same tools. You know, and so differentiating themselves and standing out from the crowd is priority number one. And you're not going to differentiate yourself unless you have come up with something totally unique, you know, a completely new way of doing something or a new tool or a new product that nobody else has. Then you are going to be fighting against that crowd. And I think that creating powerful messaging about how you do different things, not necessarily what the tools are, but how you use them differently and the way you do business and articulating who is your ideal customer is very important to attract those prospects in that are actually going to work for the business. And we've spoken before again about the power of networking. I am terrible, I think, at networking. I need to be so much better. Like,
I somehow don't believe that.
I mean, obviously we've just come out of 2 years of pretty much isolation. So, you know, those traditional networking events and things like that, I always felt kind of a bit unsure about them sometimes. I know people that absolutely adore them and that have a great time and get a load out of them. But for me, I think my networking is a bit more sort of smaller scale, smaller paced, and it's about smart connections with like-minded people. Because if you're cultivating a network around you of, you know, the kind of people that you would work with or that you would want to work with, you're going to kind of get that effect spread out, and it will bring back those kind of like-minded people back to you. But yeah, I think that, you know, PRing yourself and coming from a place of authority can feel really difficult. I think particularly for women, we sort of feel like, oh gosh, who's going to listen to me? I'm no expert. You know, there's so many other people out there that know more than me. And I think we all suffer with that imposter syndrome. But I think, you know, for me, some of the profiling and some of the opportunities that came my way were because I was invited to write a business article for one of the aesthetic industry journals, for example. And I remember the first time they asked me to do it, I was absolutely terrified and I was paralyzed, thinking, who am I to be telling these guys, you know, what to do exactly? I mean, but actually, as you go on, you think, well, yeah, actually, I do know what I'm talking about. And when you share that information, people think, oh, don't give your secrets away. You know, no one's going to kind of want to pay for it if they're getting it for free. But actually, the more you give, the more you show your worth, the more you educate on what you do, how you do, what things are interesting in your industry, the more that you're going to kind of grow in profile and also bring in those opportunities as well. Because if people think, gosh, if this is what she's able to kind of just give out, imagine what we'll get by working with them, you know, in an exclusive relationship. So I think that's a really good way of building that profile, is looking to create content either on your own platforms, looking for partners, finding places that you can showcase your knowledge is going to really help bring that opportunity forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a great tip too, going back to the social media piece. It's like, do you think it depends on what vertical you work in or what your profession is? Or do you think it's just, it's a good to share? It's good to share things. It's good to sort of share what you're working on and what you're maybe looking to do next, or...
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you should do that across as many platforms as you can, you know, maximize the exposure. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to have different content for everything, for example. But I think, you know, everybody knows about the importance of, you know, blogs for SEO marketing and getting your website ranked up Google. There's whole schools of people that are very, very knowledgeable about all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, even if you're, it doesn't really matter what industry you're in, if you are pushing out content that is educational, that is valuable, that showcases your unique perspective and why you're interesting and why you should, why you could be a great person to work with, you know, it's all to the good. I know for a fact, I definitely felt like I was shouting into the wind for quite a long time. Still sometimes feel like that, you know, you're like, is anybody listening? Does anyone care?
But I think we all have those moments,
you know,
absolutely.
Do you know what? There are definitely less qualified, less interesting, less amazing people out there trumpeting themselves away. So get out there and do it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the piece about value. I think it always goes back to value, education. Yeah. If you're providing something, then why not? You know, like, why not just try it? So yeah. I know that you mentioned to me that part of your mission is to be that stepping stone for other female founders in the space. I obviously love that. The podcast loves that, where, you know, it's sort of everything that we really believe in. But can you speak a little bit more on like why this is important to you? And what has your experience sort of been like with other female founders in the space in London?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, my PR agency's focus is quite niche. And I know most of the other founders in my space. And actually, one of them I've buddied up with, instead of being like, oh, our TPR agencies are going to be competing for clients, we've actually decided, well, actually, the two of us together know pretty much everybody we need to know for this, and let's buddy up and let's make it a collaboration process. So I think, you know, that's that opportunity to just bring together talent and to upskill each other is very much something that I think can bring huge strength to a business. And I think, you know, with the other female founders I've worked with, some of them, I have, you know, I've gone on proper, you know, paid courses. I have a proper business coach who actually was my former boss from agency days. So, you know, in terms of, I think there's sometimes this feeling of you're giving everything away for free. There are people I pay for the value they provide me, for the training, for the support, for the resources they give me. But within that, there's also this, again, this sort of word of mouth. I had somebody help me with IT things. I've had someone help me with branding. I've had someone help me with social media. And there's always this, do you know what? I know somebody that would be able to help you with that. And those conversations are always super, super productive. And it's always a case of if somebody was able to sort of say, well, do you know what? She just wants a bit of a chat about how to do this or what she can maybe think about. I think giving some of your expertise and your time to your network for free in that sort of entrepreneurial spirit and in that empowering way, it always reaps dividends in the end. And I think, you know, I've been so lucky. I've been so lucky with the people that I have reached out to, and mentoring and coaching is a huge, huge part of it, because I think certainly when I started out, I think looking back on it, was a bit depressed because I was on my own. And this is pre-pandemic, you know, this was years and years ago, sort of sat on my own, working on my own, not really having engagement or interaction with anybody. And then definitely, you know, when I brought on the agency and created Kendrick as something new, there's that whole feeling of, well, it can be lonely at the top in terms of if you're the brand founder, if you're the MD of your own business, there's nobody to sort of maybe bounce ideas off or get a sense of something. So I think finding a mentor or a coach that you can work with provides just so much in terms of not telling you what to do next, but just so that you're not feeling like you're on your own and you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. That to me, I think, is the thing that's made a huge difference for me in my business, and that I would want to pass on for others that are starting their own entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, I love that tip. Definitely a huge proponent of, you know, therapy, coaching, whether it's a life coach or a business coach. Mm-hmm. Do you have a recommendation on like how to best look for that person? Like, again, going back to a recommendation from a friend, we love that. But is there anything else that's like worked for you?
That's a really good question. I think definitely, you know, friend recommendations, number one, network, reaching out with those kind of elements. And I think as well, you know, you can probably, we all love a good Google. I think for me, I was very lucky in that I knew somebody from a past life, a past role that I could reach out to. But it could have been that maybe we didn't gel as mentors in that capacity. So I think if my network hadn't come up with anything, I would be Googling and I would be finding various life coaches and they can come from unexpected directions as well. Actually, you've made me remember that I had a lady helping me more like on a life coach basis, and she was my baby's sleep fairy. So she came into my life as a sleep fairy to help me sleep train my daughter.
Okay.
And we got talking and she's like, well, you know, I do this, but I'm also, you know, in my other life, mm-hmm, a life coach working specifically with female founders. And I was just like, ding, 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 you know, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you love those moments too?
Yeah. I mean, I just, as much as it can feel disheartening to do the Googling, I think you will be surprised, I think, actually, where so many people are now doing this as a side gig as well. They're going on life coaching courses. They're going on,
yeah,
you know, all sorts of business coaching courses. And I think finding the right person for you is super important. Somebody who holds you accountable as well. It's not just somebody to have a good cry on when it's too much, but somebody who kind of keeps driving you forwards, because that energy and that responsibility can be exhausting. But having somebody to just keep you focused and keep you on target and challenge you as well when you're sort of thinking, well, is this really what I want? Is this going to take me where I need to go to ask the hard questions? I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone to push you, someone to motivate you and inspire you. Absolutely. You've shared such amazing tidbits on this episode. Thank you again so much. What would be like a last word of wisdom or a tip of advice that you kind of really want to leave the audience with here today?
Oh, this I had to think about, and I know it's going to sound super cheesy, but I have two. I have two that I'm going to show you. This is nasty, but I've got these two battered things that I keep behind my computer, stuck on my little office windows, because I have to keep them in front of my face or I'll forget. And they are my mantras, and I still need to learn from them. So number one is progress, not perfection. I think definitely when I was starting out, I was trying to do everything to like global PR agency level standards. And sure, high aspirations are great, but I was killing myself trying to sort of, you know, trying to achieve perfection and always feeling like I had to be perfect as well. And I think progress, not perfection, small steps, small changes, you know, walking the walk is still hugely valuable, and it doesn't devalue anything that you're trying to do if it's not perfect. So that's number one. And this one I think we've talked about quite a lot today,
yeah,
which I have totally nicked off my coach because I noticed that she had it in a frame in her background. I'm like, I'm having that. We rise by lifting others. And again, you know, that just rings so true for me. I feel like I don't feel I can necessarily say my success because it is not just mine. So many people have built me up, supported me, driven me forward, helped me. And so my success is their success. And I want to be a part of that for somebody else as well. So wherever we can help somebody else rise, you know, we rise too. So that I feel is something really nice to kind of have in mind, because it can feel so overwhelming to try and be this, you know, juggling momtrepreneur, you know, all these kind of visions that people put on women in business. I think, you know, you're either the 100% go-getter or you're, you know, there's so many different kind of models that people try and sort of force them into, and just find that way that's right for you. And don't worry if not everything's perfect, because everybody else is in the same boat for sure.
Absolutely. I love the breakdown. I think it's perfect advice to end with. So thank you so, so much, Julia. What is next for you though? Is there anything exciting coming up that you want to share with us before you go?
Oh my goodness. For me, it's just the juggle and the hustle. We're coming out of the pandemic now. And, you know, whilst a lot of the lovely clients that we worked with sort of survived and thrived, I feel for now, now we can take a breath and we're kind of hopefully out of the worst of it. I'm really wanting to expand. So my vision at the start of all of this was to do London, Paris, Singapore, LA, New York. So I'm wanting to kind of grow the brand, grow the business, have anchored partners in each of those hubs, because so much innovation and amazing beauty technology comes out of the Asian market that I want to bring through into Europe and beyond. So that's what's on my vision board.
Amazing. Well, no doubt you'll be able to do it. So we can't wait to see. Before you go, where can everybody follow you, find you, Kendrick PR, and all the things?
Oh, absolutely. So it's at KendrickPR_UK on Instagram. And from there, you can pretty much find everything else. And yeah, it's such a delight to be on the podcast with you, Em. Thank you so, so much for having me.
Perfect. No, thank you. We so appreciate it. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at Monday_Network. We love to hear your feedback, and we'll catch you on the next episode.